Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much, Lynn, for this past hour or so. It's been wonderful, and thank you all for being here on this very first Sunday service of the year. Yes, it is a first Sunday of the month and the first Sunday of the year, and we're going to go for a clean slate entering this new year. That's the topic we have for this morning. I want to thank everyone for joining us here, and I see by the attendance, I also want to just say I want to thank Regina for this remodeling, which has actually been so well received by the community and the members of Awakening Together. And hopefully the sound is a lot clearer. I want to give thanks to Alex Rayanga who sent me a little thing to put the end of my mic so that you don't hear that spitting sound. Your mic is breathy this morning. Okay, Alex, it's still popping. Well, it's better. Okay, it's better than it was last year. Okay, yeah, we always look to have things in the new year be better than last year. I do understand that, but we're also going to look to let go of the past today. So we're going to start by doing what we usually do here every Sunday, which is a ritual. It's not something we're going to let go of, and that's to welcome and to greet everybody here, just as if we were in a regular brick-and-mortar sanctuary, so that you would turn and say hello and greet everyone around you. Here you get to greet everyone wherever they are and anyone who's listening in on the radio. So I'm going to turn this mic back to you, Lynn, so we have some of that beautiful music that you play and a chance to give everyone a chance to say hello and a happy new year to all. Okay, turning this mic over to you, Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Shit on us.
Okay, so beautiful, and thank you all for sharing your love and your light. And we all share the same goodwill from the same great rays that we are. We are the great rays for sure. We are the light of the world. And we'll be speaking a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. First, let's take a look at awakening together and what working awakening together is and what our purpose is. Of course, it would be helpful if I had it right in front of me. Give me a second to get to that page. Our purpose, Awakening Together's purpose, is we are an assembly of equals. I love the word equals because that is the truth. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. That is so true. One self, one truth, one mind, one love, one source. Let's see. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace, to rest, to abide in it. Yes, thank you so much. And of the five core values, the one I selected today is pretty much the same as our purpose, but they are all really pretty much the same as I see these things. Number three of the five core values is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. Absolutely changes. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And that's what we're going to look to do today, is the letting go of the past. Letting go of the past and starting with a clean slate. Thank you so much for these five core values and our purpose for awakening together. Okay, we have a few announcements, and let's see. Yes, Marie, who is my reader today, and we'll speak a little about that shortly, says, absolutely changeless, no beginning, no end. The mind that loves to see differences, loves to see beginnings and ends, because then it sees separation. But when you abide in absolute changelessness, there's no beginning and no end. So our announcements for this first Sunday of the new year, tomorrow, January 4th, Monday, is the last day to fill out the 10-question survey regarding the programs that you'd like to see offered in the sanctuary. If you didn't receive the link to the survey and you want to fill it out, please email Regina at reginadawnacres@yahoo.com and she will send it to you. So if you're listening on the radio, send it to reginadawnacres@yahoo.com and she'll send you the 10-question survey to see what it is that you would like to hear and see and engage in and experience here in the sanctuary in our remodeling of the Awakening Together sanctuary. So yes, and Regina just put her address out on the board, reginadawnacres@yahoo.com. Okay, the second announcement, based on the survey data already received, some changes are already underway. Starting tomorrow, January 4th, Monday, coming into the sanctuary for a, you can come into the sanctuary for a 30-minute meditation at either 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. Eastern Time each weekday morning. That's 5 a.m. out on the Pacific Coast, on the West Coast, and 7 a.m. if you're doing the second one. So, depending on where you are, there is a 30-minute meditation, and that's going to begin at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and there's another one at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Also starting tomorrow afternoon, January 4th, Monday afternoon, Reverend Amy Shewcat will offer a new weekly program called Everyday Spiritual Solutions Based on Science of Mind. I was speaking to Reverend Amy, and she says, you know, that is the work of Ernest Holmes, and that's the original New Thought thinking, and we look forward to that. Her program will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 12 noon Pacific time. The first 4 weeks will be an introduction to the science of mind teaching. After that, Reverend Amy will answer questions from listeners who are seeking a spiritual perspective in their everyday worldly challenges. Occasionally, Reverend Amy will bring other ministers and practitioners for panel discussions, and this new program offers endless possibility for your interaction and spiritual enrichment. Another announcement for today is Regina's new Sufi contemplation group starts this Wednesday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Each week, Regina will provide group participants with a handout based on one of the 99 Islamic names of God. Each handout includes Sufi poetry, Sufi stories, and other spiritual material to enrich that week's contemplation. At meetings each Wednesday, participants will share with the group based on their contemplation. This will be a very interactive and enriching group. You might be surprised at the clarity that comes to you as you contemplate the 99 names of God. Wow, yes. The best way to learn about additions to sanctuary programming is by watching the daily update email. If you don't receive the daily update, you can subscribe at awakening-together.org under the Join Us menu. Under the Join Us menu, you can subscribe at the awakening-together.org website under the Join Us menu. And finally, and certainly not least, but very important here, is the winter retreat is just around the corner. As I was thinking, it's 7 weeks away, really. That's a very short time. The retreat is February 26th through the 28th in Cannon City, Colorado. Brent Haskell and Regina Dawn Akers are the retreat leaders. Jacqueline Eckert and Jay McCormick will also be assisting. And this is a very inexpensive retreat. Only $350 for a single, that's just you in a room, or $275, that sounds wonderful, $275 for a shared room, sharing it with someone else. That rate includes the retreat, the teachings, the entire weekend, your room, and all of your meals. And I must add this thing. Brent Haskell, who many know, was not really available for teaching or sharing for many years, maybe, you know, a good 12, 14 years at least, maybe 15 years. And he just came out really to share at the Miracle on the Mountain retreat a couple years ago. That was his first. And this is his second time really doing a teaching of this nature. A public sharing. Brent Haskell was very seldom speaks at retreats, so this is a rare opportunity at a great price. It will be an intimate retreat. You know, Brent Haskell, of course, is the scribe for Journey Beyond Words, which is Yeshua, a companion to the workbook, and the other voice which is Yeshua, companion to the textbook of A Course in Miracles. So I've always found that to be the most clear, illuminating bang for the buck that you can possibly get in this community. I used to listen to the MP3 all the time. I played them right here in this room. Registration is limited to a total of 37 people. So it is a great opportunity to interact with Brent, with Regina, and everyone else at the retreat. So it's going to be a very small, intimate affair. If you haven't signed up and you want to sign up, you can do that by simply going to the awakening-together.org, and I guess it's there under events. Bob DeWater says, how many have registered so far? Maybe Regina has an answer to that. And Lynn says, it's an interwoven tapestry. Okay, Regina says we have 15 slots left, so it's open to another 15 people. Okay. You see, that kind of brings me to turning this mic over to my reader. You all know, those people who have been here for a number of years, Marie Thibault. Everyone knows her as TBs. She's speaking through Neil McGregor's nickname here in the room. Neil perfectly won. You see it as perfectly one. Somebody should be speaking through perfectly one. And how we this whole topic came about in a way. I was reading lesson 360, and I noticed it mentioned the great rays kind of in detail. And this is the final lesson of the course before it gets to the final lesson. And it says, and it's only in the great rays that certainty can be found. And that word certainty always resonates with me big time, because I know that he uses it over and over in this course. He says, for what can be more certain than a son of God? And he says, and ask who walks with me 1,000 times a day until you are certain. So certainty, which is, of course, is the letting go of doubt. You know, like, well, maybe yes and maybe no. I don't really know, but, you know, I believe. No, certainty is not belief. Certainty is. Truth is. God is. Love is. So when I saw the word certainty is only found in the great rays, I said to myself, you know something, Dove? You've been doing this course half your life. You really don't know what the great rays are. You couldn't really speak about them. You really couldn't. No, you mentioned what's mentioned in the book, the great rays, but you don't really know. So as it happened, the next day I was speaking to Marie on the phone, and she happened to mention the great rays. I said, that's funny you mentioned the great rays, because I was just thinking about the great rays. And I said, I really don't know what the great rays is. And Marie in her love for truth, you know, Marie and I used to share 12 core themes of A Course in Miracles right here in this room a number of times. She did the research, which I never really did, and she sent it to me, and we have posted it a few times on Facebook, and maybe I can post it as a link here. But without further ado, we're going to be turning this mic over to Marie. And she's going to be reading from Lesson 360, which is the lesson that speaks about the great rays. And then she's going to speak, she says it only appears the great rays in six paragraphs in A Course in Miracles. And she has all six that she found, at least. But she's only going to read from the first two. And we'll see if we can also post the first two for you, and maybe a link to the others. So without further ado, turning this mic over to you, thank you so much, Marie Thibault, for being here with us and for us. The mic is all yours.
Do I have a mic? Okay, mic is locked on. I have a reverb. Do you guys? Okay. I don't know what accounts for that. All right, how is this now? Doug says read. I'm going to read, and it's echoing. Okay. Lesson 360. Peace be to me, the Holy Son of God. Peace to my brother, who is one with me. Let all the world be blessed with peace through us. And the prayer for that lesson. Father, it is your peace that I would give, receiving it of you. I am your son, forever just as you created me. For the great rays remain forever still and undisturbed within me. I would reach to them in silence and in certainty, for nowhere else can certainty be found. Peace be to me, and peace to all the world. In holiness were we created, and in holiness do we remain. Your Son is like to you in perfect sinlessness. And with this thought, we gladly say, Amen. And now I'm going to read the first appearance of the great rays. And in this case, I'll just note that it's not capitalized. I did not make any notes of chapters, page numbers, section headings, or anything like that. My prompt was to take content, period. Okay. In many, only the spark remains, for the great rays are obscured. But God has kept the spark alive, so the rays can never be completely forgotten. If you but see the little spark, you will learn of the greater light, for the rays are there unseen. Perceiving the spark will heal, but knowing the light will create. Yet in the returning, the little light must be acknowledged first. For the separation was a descent from magnitude to littleness. But the spark is still as pure as the great light, because it is the remaining call of creation. But put all your faith in it, and God Himself will answer you. Okay, the second appearance of great rays in A Course in Miracles text, and now this is capitalized, capital G, capital R. As the ego would limit your perception of your brothers to the body, so would the Holy Spirit release your vision and let you see the great rays shining from them, so unlimited that they reach to God. It is this shift in vision which is accomplished in the holy instant. Yet it is needful for you to learn just what this shift entails, so you will become willing to make it permanent. Given this willingness, it will not leave you, for it is permanent. For once you have accepted it as the only perception that you want, it is translated into knowledge by the part that God Himself plays in the atonement. For it is the only step in it He understands. Therefore, in this there will be no delay. When you are ready for it, God is ready now, but you are not. Okay, I'm going to turn the mic back over to Dove. Thank you, Jay. I think that took the vibe off of it, huh? Okay, here you go, Dove. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mary. And I want to thank you for going the extra mile, doing the work, the research to find those six paragraphs. I did put a link up. I could post it on the Peace of Gods at Yahoo. Some of you are already a member. I think you can just click on that link and you'll find all six of the paragraphs that Marie found in A Course in Miracles. There may be more, but those are the six that came up when she did her search. So I'm very glad that, and I got from the very first two, I realized what it is that kept me from going and finding out more, because the great rays is the one thing that is not fooled by the ego thought system. The ego thought system, which of course uses the body's eyes and the body's ears to look and see what it thinks is real. And if you're using the body's eyes and the body's ears, you probably think that the world is real. and of course, that's the purpose of the body's eyes and ears, is to show you what the world is saying to you. And of course, we kind of make up the rest of the story. Well, there's good and bad, and there's right and wrong, and I got to toe the line, I got to do this, I got to do that. But all of that gotta do's and all those things are simply hiding the purpose of all these things in the world. Notice literally how the first couple lessons that we just went through, lesson 1, 2, and 3, today's lesson, is really saying that nothing here really means anything. And we really get underneath that. It's not that they don't mean anything. It's not even that we give the meaning to it. It's literally saying that we are subscribing to the purpose that these things seem to serve, and they all serve the same purpose, which is differences, separation. So even though we may say, well, I know what a chair is, I know what this is, I know what that is, yeah, we've given names to all these things, all these different meanings and different names, but we're really subscribing to the differences instead of seeing the sameness, which is the oneness. We call today's topic a clean slate. You know, it seems to be an appropriate topic for the very first Sunday morning service of the year. Let's start with a clean slate. You know, and as all good resolutions, they don't seem to last too long. As Joey Bishop says, you know, may all your problems last as long as your New Year's resolutions. And of course, he was just commenting on the fact that no one really keeps their New Year's resolutions anyway, so why bother making them? But here is an opportunity that we can actually see that we can do and practice each and every day, simply by recognizing that I have in the past subscribed to the world's perceptions. Yes, I was born into a world, and the world says, oh, yeah, this is good, and this is bad, and this is right, and this is wrong, and this is this, and this is that. And we have accepted these appearances as true. And, oh, yes, some of us have actually said, no, no, this is not true. I don't use judgment anymore. I don't go there anymore. I don't do that anymore. And, you know, practicing forgiveness will actually allow you to let a lot of it go. There's no two ways about it. That is the function of this course. But the function of love is one. So oneness is sameness, which is all included. All included, equally the same. All. So unless I am seeing all included the same equally, I'm probably still using the conceptual mind's idea of what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong. When we were listening to Marie speaking about this tiny spark, you must start with the tiny spark that dwells in each of us, in all of us. It's the same spark. You know, when Veronica Gabrielle, who's going to be my sharing partner at this next Course in Miracles conference coming up in Las Vegas, and if you listen to her on either a Tuesday afternoon or a Wednesday evening, she always kind of ends all of her teachings with, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And that light is in all of us the same. My willingness to see the light in my brother is my willingness to see my own. If I see anything other than the light in my brother, I'm not really using true vision. I'm using the body's eyes. And, oh, yeah, I'm using my past memory. I'm still living in the past, which is nothing more than a judgment of the way things are. And even though I say I don't really judge anymore, you know, I don't judge people anymore, as long as I see the body and who I think they are or how they appear to be, some of them may be more sane than others, some of them are not as blessed as others, as long as I see those differences, again, I am seeing differences. Somehow, I am not seeing the light. To see the light is really to practice the golden rule. Literally, the golden rule, which is really the core of so many of the original religions, whether it comes from the Torah of the Hebrews or the New Testament, or just about any place you look in the world, it pretty much says the same thing. As I see my brother, I see myself. As I treat my brother, I treat myself. That every encounter is a holy encounter. The Course in Miracles speaks about that in Chapter 8, Section 3. Every encounter, and it's always right up here in the banner. Every encounter, leave no brother without giving them salvation. You're either going to find yourself or lose yourself. Because if you listen to the mind that believes it knows what things are for, it's only living in the past. So when we say a new slate, you know, we want a clean slate, you know, it does take a little extra work, a little extra effort, the kind of work and effort that Marie put in finding those six appearances of the great rays and A Course in Miracles. You have to go the extra mile. You can't live in past rituals and past understandings. And that's why the subtitle for today's talk simply is Unsubscribe from the World's Perceptions. Unclutter your mind. Because, you know, the Course is filled with places where it says, let me still my mind, let me quiet my thoughts. You know, I'm not this body, I am free, I am still. And stillness is the same for all of us. Stillness is the same for all of us. It's in that willingness to see the light, the willingness to see the tiny spark that dwells in all, regardless of how they may appear in this world. Yeah, the appearances are just costumes. Simply costumes. So, in order to untangle and unclutter the mind that is full of things that it thinks it needs to do in order to protect itself, to survive, all the things that the mind was made to do, let's speak about some of the things along the way that basically comes to help us unclutter. And the first one I'm going to pick up on is one by Byron Katie, if I can find it. And I'm sure that Byron Katie's quote will be helpful if we accept this exactly as she says. As long as you want to see differences, you will see differences. But when you accept and embrace everything as the same, that's pretty much where your suffering ends. So let me see if I can pick up the very first one from Byron Katie. And this is, and I'll post it here. I do want to post these things because I think it's helpful to actually see them rather than just to hear them. Okay, this is what Byron Katie says. I hope it posts. All right. She says, our loved ones will continue to press every button that we have until we realize that it is that, until we realize what it is that we don't want to know about ourselves yet. And this is the part I love. Their job is not to change. Their job is to set you free. If you look at that and contemplate on that, yeah, Bob says it was a contemplation. Yeah, I probably got it from that. Yeah, it was probably from one of the daily quotes. And today's daily quote is also a beauty, as they all are. But that is such a mind-blower. Because most of the clutter in my mind, it may be the same as yours, is to try and figure people out. You know, always kind of alert to what they say, to what they are doing, so I can kind of put them maybe in some kind of a group. Oh, well, you know, this is an okay group. This is a group maybe I don't really want to spend a lot of time with, you know, so we kind of sort things out ourselves. Now, you got to notice that that's the ego. Ego loves to kind of sort things out. Yeah, well, you know, I can discern the difference between good and bad and right and wrong. Yeah, right. No, actually, you can't. Always brings up lesson 25, which was my mantra lesson for many years. I do not know what anything is for. And always starts out with purpose is meaning. So if my only purpose is to remember the truth, is to know my true self, then it's true, I don't know what anything in this world is for, which is exactly how all these early lessons start out. Lesson 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to lesson 7, which says, I see only the past. It says, I see only the past is the reason that the first 6 are true. Because you're living in the past. And if we're really here and we want to start with a clean slate, you have to let go of the past. Which it's not letting go of what you remember from the past. It's letting go of the clutter of the machinery of the conceptual belief system that I can determine who is who and what is good and what is bad and what is right and what is wrong. None of that's true. Because the purpose that they serve is to show me differences, separation, specialness, better and worse, good and bad. Is that really what I want? You could be doing the course your entire life, and until you recognize that we all share the same purpose. It's only in purpose that we are joined. And our only purpose is to awaken together, name of this room, to awaken together from this dream of forgetfulness, and that everyone is serving the same purpose as I am. Yes, and the people who are pushing your buttons, who are triggering you, they're there to help set you free. You gotta laugh. You simply gotta laugh when you realize that it's all for your own healing. And as Lenny Rose once reminded me, because I used to talk about lesson 25, I do not know what anything is for, a lot, and he said, but Dove, you know, if you do the whole lesson at the end, it says, but everything that happens here is for your own good. Yes, that's right. Everything that happens, that's right. That's pretty much what it says in lesson 135, which so many of us love that thing. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, all events, all encounters, all circumstances, are gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good. So everything that's happening here is for your good. And if you really hear what the Holy Spirit's purpose, which is God's teacher, there's only one teacher for all of us, the Holy Spirit's only purpose for this world. Oh yes, you might say, well, you just said there is no world. No, the world is just a classroom. It's an outside picture, a mirror that shows you the inner condition of where you think you are. So if you see good and bad, you'll see good and bad in the world. If you're living in peace, you'll see that the world is just simply a picture. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. The truth is always the same. It doesn't change. That which changes is not the truth. That which changes is the temporary movie that we're watching. I just happened to notice today's quote for contemplation, which Regina will be doing later this evening at 10 o'clock. It actually is always perfect. Everything always happens perfectly here. I mean, that's my experience. Everything is always happening perfectly. And that's my willingness to see sameness. Today's quote, O Holy Spirit, descend plentifully into my heart. Enlighten the dark corners of this neglected dwelling and scatter there thy cheerful beams. Yes, cheerful beams of light. And that's from St. Augustine. Yeah. Isn't that the exact same as the great rays? Isn't that the exact same? Different words says the same thing. Yeah, if I'm focused on the beams. And yes, you have to start, as it says, since we went from magnitude to littleness in our descent, we must start in littleness and see the tiny spark that is true in all of us. That spark is in all of us. There's no one in this universe that God created that doesn't have the spark of life, of light, of love, of truth. My willingness to see that spark, that light, that love, that truth, that they are as God created, that their worth is established not by their costume or what they said to me or what their path is or what their religion is. No. Their worth is established by God, as mine is. My willingness to see this is everything. That's listening to only one voice that only sees inclusion and sameness in all. Doesn't see differences. I think another thing that I want to just mention from Byron Katie, as long as we are on it, and this is another thing that we use to clutter our minds with. Another thing that we use to clutter our minds with. Let me post that over here. It doesn't post all that. Oh, I see what's going on. All right, this is by Byron Katie. I'll post it again one more time. If I fear for your welfare, I can't see how well you are faring. And I think that's such a biggie. Because we're all surrounded by our loved ones, our family, you know, the people in our lives, the people in this room, and if I'm living in concern, if I think that someone needs help, I'm really speaking about myself. I'm the one that needs the help because I'm seeing someone as less than what love creates, the same as myself. So what part of my mind is seeing differences? You got to laugh when you ask that question. Yeah. What part of my mind is seeing someone out there is not faring too well? I'm really afraid for their welfare. I mean, that's allowing the clutter in your mind to rule you. If I unsubscribe from the world's perceptions, I must unclutter the stuff that says somebody out there needs me to help them get better, fix them, help them. And in truth, that is not so at all. We are all one and the same. We are all included in the circle of innocence, in the circle of atonement. There is none excluded. If I see one as excluded, if I see one that needs a little bit more attention, a little bit more of this, a little bit more, I'm not listening to the voice for love. Oh yes, if something needs to be done, I will be shown what to say and what to do. I will be shown where to go, what to say, and to whom. But that's not for me to determine by my body's eyes and ears. And here's another one which I found to be extremely helpful in uncluttering the mind. Remember, we're here to have a clean slate, to unclutter the mind of all the things it thinks it needs to do in order to be happy. I put this in caps because somehow it speaks loudly to me. Don't attach to the things that you like in this world. And, equally important, don't cherish aversion to the things that you dislike, because sorrow, fear, and bondage come from them. Sorrow, fear, and bondage come from them. So the things that you like of this world that's you seem to value, you know, things that you value, there's nothing wrong with this, you can't show me anything wrong with this, you know. If you are, then you're judging something, and I don't judge it, so I like it. Well, you can like anything you want in this world. You can like ice cream, but your welfare, your well-being, your perfect self has nothing to do with the ice cream. Don't attach to things that you like. And equally important, don't cherish aversion to things that you dislike. And that is pretty much what we do here in this world. You know, popular boards where people are telling you what to do and what not to do is usually a good sprinkling of stay away from people who do this to you. Stay away from them. So if you think that you're... If you think that your safety, if you think that your welfare, that you think your well-being, if you think that your truth, your life depends on staying away from something that is fearful to you or not good for you or then again you are using the purpose of this world to live in fear. And if you're living in fear, you are not awake. The whole purpose here is to awaken from this dream of forgetfulness. So while I am forgetting who I am also forgetting who my brother is. Again, we return to that golden rule. Now, that brother also has the spark of light, that seed of light, that little spark that brings you to the great rays. But you have to start with littleness. But your willingness to only see the spark, that little tiny spark, start to grow. That's what charity is. That's what charity is. And we do talk about charity a lot here in this room. I think that was the topic that Ken Mallory and Joan Williams had this past Saturday, I believe it was, on charity. And what is charity but your willingness to see your brother not as you think he is, you know, maybe doing something that you don't think he should be doing. Now, charity is seeing your brother as he truly is, to actually see the tiny spark of light in him. And that spark has grown and has expanded and has grown into one of the great rays, and he's standing there at the end of time looking back, holding the hand of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, looking back and laughing at it all. And if you can see him there, you can see yourself. There's no difference between you and your brother. You are and the same self, one self, united in union. That's the truth. The truth is our one will. It's not that my will is different from someone else's. It's the same will. The same will is God's will. There's only one will. There's not two wills. And that's the truth. The charity that you give to yourself, as it says in the Course, this advances both of you, both retroactively and progressively. So you are standing at the end of time. And what is time but the vast illusion? What is time but something that begins in time and ends in time and has really no value to you whatsoever? Isn't that lesson 133, which happens to be my birthday lesson this leap year coming up? This leap year, May 12th, I will not value what is valueless. What's valuable belongs to me. What's nothing that begins in time and ends in time has any value to you. Nothing. What you've been cherishing is valueless. You can let it go now. Don't use it as an excuse to be right. As Lynn Johnson was saying in the early hour before we started here, you know, do you want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? Choose one. You can't have both. So it's really our willingness to remember the truth. And yes, to hear only one voice, it takes great willingness, not a little willingness. It takes great willingness. It takes practice. To practice every day. I know that people say they meditate every day, and we'll be having meditation classes here at 8 o'clock in the morning and at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. But as the Course says, your willingness to realize that I need do nothing, to simply be still, that doesn't mean you don't hear the birds and the roar of the river rapids as they flow. Maybe if you have a dog like I have, he's playing with his toys. It's just that you're not listening to the clutter anymore. You've chosen peace instead. Lesson 34, I can choose peace instead of this. And that's something that I can do each and every day as a practice. Ken Wapnick's two favorite lessons was 34. I can choose peace instead of this. But he wasn't fooled by I can choose peace instead of this. His other favorite lesson was lesson number 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. Because he knew that the only reason we're upset is for listening to the clutter. For listening to the voice of differences. The voice that sees me as less, others as more. Maybe me as more, others as less. And just go round and round and round. In a world of differences and specialness and separation. And there is no truth there. Just keep living the same lie. So yes, for a clean slate in this new year, what is it that I really need to do? I need to unsubscribe from the world's belief system, the world's perceptions. It's so well said in chapter 23, The War Against Yourself, in section 4, Above the Battleground. It says, do not remain in conflict, for there is no war without attack. So that conflict that's going on is really in our mind. That's the clutter that we're talking about. And as long as I choose to stay on this battleground, and I choose to remain in the terms of engagement, which is, if I'm engaged in this place, I gotta do what I need to do to protect myself, to keep myself safe. And as long as you do that, almost nothing that I said means anything. Literally, nothing I said means anything. It's only my willingness to rise above the battleground, to disengage, that nothing I see here means anything. If I think it means something, then just remember, I'm the one that's given all the meaning. And what do you mean by I'm the one? No, as a matter of fact, I've been listening to a voice that has nothing to do with truth. It just wants to perpetuate the lie. And a thought system that has a lie at its center, which is the belief in separation, everything that emanates from it is more deception and more lies. So yes, I can choose a thought system that has at its center oneness, union, peace. For that is what God is. God is the author of peace. Okay, we're just about at that time. I want to thank everyone for listening, for joining in, for tuning in if you're on the radio. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for some music. This is a good time. It's usually the time we say, if you would like to make a donation to Awakening Together, please do. And we do have time coming up right now in our fellowship time, the next hour, in which there is plenty of time to ask even more questions. But we'll be back in just a few minutes, about 4 or 5 minutes from now. If you have any questions, any thoughts that came up, if you were inspired by anything that was said, please share it. Right now, Lynn Johnson, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much. And put up the link for donations. Thank you so much. I think you did. Okay. Maybe did. All right, Lynn, that was such a perfect song. Truly, my goodness gracious, I cannot imagine a more perfect song than Let Go of the Shore, because that's exactly what we're speaking about, to let go of the things that we think we know about and just enjoy the mystery, which is really the flow. Things are just flowing, and the certainty is, as somebody here mentioned, we are safe, as Tony mentions. Know you're safe. That is the certainty. What is flowing is perfect. It's always in perfect order. If you knew who walks with you, fear would be impossible. Well, it's not that anyone is walking with me figuratively. There's no one walking on two legs beside me. It's that all is flowing perfectly. That all is in perfect order. Yes. And our allowance to embrace it, to abide in it, to be it, to be anything to do with certainty. And if I think that someone has something that I don't have, or I think I have something that someone else doesn't have, again, I'm holding on to something that is untrue. Untrue. It's an illusion, just like time is. Okay, we have another 10 minutes. If anyone was inspired at all by anything that was said, please use this as an opportunity to share it. Maybe you have some thoughts. Sharon, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much.
Okay, there we go. Well, I am absolutely inspired today from this beautiful church, and we do give all the meaning to everything that we experience in this world. So maybe I give a lot of meaning to this room, but it's a room where I can say that I have grown in the last 8 years. We're a room now that is a church in the world, and we know the world is just a classroom, but, you know, to get the beautiful, beautiful Christ awareness that we all are, to get out there and to just say that we are a church and we've gotten the status of a church. Well, the meaning I have is that when I wrote a little letter about how much this room has done for me, it came fully from my heart. And today is an example, as Doug was an absolute magnificent minister. And Marie, oh God, you are missed so much. I know that you are just probably just sitting in peace and abiding in peace, and I want that for you. But to have you back in the room was just a wonder, put a smile on my face. And I want to thank Lynn and Barb every week to give me this opportunity to be in church, where I just go right over to my computer, I open it up, and there you go. I've got a whole world of love, of healing, of wanting God more than anything else. So, Doug, when you said something, you know, and I didn't, you know, I don't know if I'm worried about someone, if I worry about their welfare, I don't know how they're faring. Like, that is such a good message to take away from me. Because when I get stuck, if the mind gets stuck in something, it's always a story. And what I've been doing is quickly coming back into truth and just remembering what my purpose is. Thank you all for joining every week, and especially thank you, Doug, today and every day for bringing us all together through Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Sharon, for that. And there's just so much from your heart. I could just feel the love and the light in every word. And as you said, I'm going to mention something from Thomas Merton, who said, "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy or they're faring well or not faring well. This is not our business. And in fact, it is nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love, and this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy." Well, there's that word, worthy. Your worth, your brother's worth, your sister's worth is established by the love of God, not by anything in this world, not by anything, not by the teachings, the learnings, the doings, the comings. Nothing in this world speaks of the worth established by eternal love. And that can only be experienced now. It's always now. It's always now. It's now. We are the now. Okay, Christina, thank you so much. Christina, love. This mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for sharing, Dove. I just love when you share. And Marie, I don't know if you're still here or not, but I really loved hearing your voice and missed you a lot. And hi, Iris, good morning. I love the great rays of our Father. What a wonderful, beautiful service. Hi, Barb. And you know, as I close my eyes, I've been seeing these beautiful rays of our Father. Oh, just coming straight from heaven into my heart and mind and my whole being, and just releasing them into my brothers and my sisters, wherever I go, whatever I do. And I had just the most wonderful 2 weeks with my sister, and my family was here. They were here for 2 weeks. I couldn't believe it. And we had such a peaceful, wonderful time. And I'm so grateful to God for that, because, you know, before it was always a lot of ego shrieking and you know, and judgments and stuff. And I'm just really, really living in gratitude that I'm being changed. My perception is being changed, and I'm more relaxed and at peace and seeing the great rays in my brothers and my sisters, and actually feeling them from myself and from them. And it's just, what a, you know, God is doing His work with me. And I'm just really so thankful to Him for showing me all this. And thank you so much for this topic. Thank you so much. And your honey bells will be in the mail this coming week. So they're so delicious. They just started. And I love you, and I love you, Marie, and all of you. And have a blessed, blessed day. Thank you. Angel trumpets are doing great, Marie. I have one in my backyard, we'll put one in the front too. Yeah, how are yours doing? I love you. Bye.
Wow, thank you so much. And I just want to say, if you ever listen to Christina, she's a teacher here for many years, she always speaks from being grateful, of having so much gratitude. And we all have gratitude for your love and your light that you're always shining with all. I see Kathy has her hand up. This will be the last time I speak. I'm turning this mic over to you, Kathy. I know that we have a full session ahead, the fellowship hour, and then Bob DeWater, thank you so much for being the admin, Lynn for being the music director, Regina for making Awakening Together what it actually is. It's just always so beautiful and so expanding. And I want to thank you, Marie. Thank you so much for bringing the great rays to us, so that we can actually understand, finally, instead of just saying the great rays, what it actually is. Thank you so much, Marie, for being my sharing partner as usual. Over to you, Kathy. Thank you so much. Thank you all. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lovely. Thank you for the topic.
Okay, can you guys hear me this morning? Anybody? Good, thanks. I'll just say ditto behind Dove's thank yous. There were many this morning. Really enjoyed our this church. I just wanted to share a little funny. Some of you may know Carrie Triffitt, the author of the book out that I'm reading in the sanctuary later on today. And it's called Tastes Like God, of the book, via inspiration, was to have a Hostess Twinkie, you know, the kind with the cream inside and the emanating from this Hostess cupcake is what I refer to as the great rays. There's like this subtle great ray effect out from the Hostess cupcake. And so I kind of laughed when Dove was sharing on the subject of the great rays, because it was taken in a very literal sense in this visual presentation of it. And I was, it caused some reflection for me on just what it is I put upon my altar, the altar within. What are the gifts that I lay there? What are the idols that I bring to the altar? And I was reflecting on how the great rays emanate from that altar noise there. So it's almost as if it was a picture of what I give back to the world based on what I accept into the mind. Interesting to kind of look at that way. Yes, a reflection question of mind, exactly, that I then spew back out into the collective consciousness. And so hope this year to relax into the flow, as Deb also spoke to. My husband and I have been laughing about that very idea. We had a clear example of that while we were driving in the car together, and it was on a day where people were staying home, New Year's Day, I believe it was, and we were returning something at the mall, and so there was very little traffic, and there was just this general flow through all the green lights, and my husband decided to actually get in a left turn lane before it was absolutely necessary, even though the flow of the green lights felt as if, for me, we should just continue forward until the point at which we had to turn. And so we had some discussion about that flow, and it was a very nice conversation, but a clear example in the world of, you know, just a practical application of what flow can be. So fun that way, and I'm glad you spoke to that, Dove. Applicable to just how my days have been going. So that's all intuitive flow, yeah. I will release the mic, and thanks for joining me in church today, you guys. It's nice to see everybody every single time. I'm sending my love.
Of my mind, I will.